Willie Mays has joined us and you. They have opened a brand new stadium in San Francisco, and they have Willie Mays Plaza. And in that plaza is a statue of Willie, and it looks just like him. He's swinging from the heels, going for the fences. Willie, I know you were very moved by the dedication of the plaza and the unveiling of that statue. What were your personal thoughts on that day?
Well, I'm very proud to have something like that, where I'm able to look at it and see how, you know, real it is. And I think the fans had a lot to do with it, because it was so many people showed up. But I think Peter, you know, and Willie Brown had a lot to do with it. It's just a wonderful, wonderful feeling to have a lot of things restored on you just because you played baseball. But I'm very proud of it, and I hope the fans are proud of it for me.
When you see your godson, Barry Bonds, do you see any of yourself in him? I mean, what type of player do you see?
Well, Barry is a very good player. He's always been a very good player. He's got a good mind as far as baseball is concerned. He does wonderful things out there. It's just that he's getting his feet on the ground. He's getting back into the community, and he's done wonderful things, like I've been trying to tell him for 5 or 6 years. Now he's beginning to understand that baseball is just, you know, baseball. When you get out of this game, you're going to meet the same kind of people that you met when you're playing. So I think right now he's beginning to understand life a little bit, and I think he's going to do a wonderful job for himself, you know.
Willie, when there are people like yourself, the stature of yourself as far as stars, and like Barry, how difficult is it to get into the community? How difficult is it to be the person in San Francisco or in Cincinnati if you're a Ken Griffey Jr.? What is that life like?
Well, it's kind of a lonely life for some time, because I can't go to a football game. I can't go to a basketball game. As you well know, I can't sit in the stands in a baseball, you know, game. So a lot of things I get good, and a lot of things I want to do are, you know, kind of bad for myself. But I take the good part with it, because they always try and compare people to me, and I think that's a wonderful feeling to the player, regardless of who he may be. Over 40 years, he's out of the game, and they still trying to compare him with myself with other people. That's a great feeling.
When you take a look at the players that are playing today, how do you evaluate them? Are they bigger? Are they stronger? A lot of home runs are being hit. What does Willie Mays see when he looks at them?
Well, first of all, I don't get into that type of stuff, because whatever I say, I'm around the guys all the time. I want to be positive with them. I don't get into things trying to compare the old days compared to the new days. They don't want to hear all that. They want to go forward. They want to do their own thing. And for me to try and compare, which I do have opinions, but I keep them to myself, because it's a good thing to go into the clubhouse and be with the younger guys. They keep me young. And I for one, never going to talk against baseball. I either try to compare it. I just go out and help who I can.
One of the things, Willie, that I see today, as you know, with Bob Gibson and others who pitched during that period of time and when you were playing, it was kind of a badge of honor, was it not, to finish a game and go into the ninth inning. Now we have so much specialization. Yeah. How has that changed the way the game's played?
Well, it's changed in the minor league. I think they have what they call a pitch count in the minor, and the guys, when they get here, they look for the same kind of pitch count, which is like sixth inning or seventh inning. I think the key right now is the closers, the middle relievers. We didn't have all that when I played, and that's what I was trying to compare all these things we're doing today compared to when I played. It's not really good, because the game is in a different mold. And then, you know, when we played, 9 innings wasn't nothing. You go to that every day, you know.
There's another.
I think it's the game of change compared to the, you know, with the relievers involved.
There's another aspect of the game, and talking to a fellow Hall of Famer, Joe Morgan, I said to him, I said, what are you most proud of? He said, aside from the MVPs and the championships, he said, winning the gold gloves that I won. How important was it for you to be able to get gold gloves, for you to be able to be the complete baseball player?
Well, if you look at baseball start with defense. If you can catch the ball, you're in the game just about every day. If you don't catch the ball out there, you're going to lose a lot of games. When I was about 15, my father used to teach me about how to win games and lose games. And you can't, and first of all, he didn't want me to get into fights and things like that. because I couldn't do the club in the clubhouse. But I think the game today, any day, defense starts first, and then you work back into the offense, because you got a lot of guys can hit, but a lot of guys can't feel. So with me, I want to make sure that I caught the ball every day, and defense was very, very important to me. When I played my first 4 or 5 years, we didn't have golden gloves, so I only have 12. So I didn't get too many. I think Brooke Robinson got the lot. I think he got 18. Yeah, so I didn't get it. I told him that. Just give me the other four. I should have my other four gloves at home somewhere.
Talk to me about your dad a little bit. How did he influence you baseball-wise?
Well, my dad was a very smart guy. He was a guy that would stay ahead of me this way. When I went to Birmingham Black Barons at the age of around 15, he had already called the guys and told them to take care of me, not let me go out by myself anyway, not to be around fast people. So he already had told them what to do. So when I got to New York, he had called a guy named Joe Walker, which was a barber there, to make sure that I got a good room, make sure that I ate right, I didn't, you know, go out too much. So he was the type of guy that was very low-key. We never argued. He was like a friend to me. He was a guy that I could go to regardless of what it may be, and we talked.
Willie, if I could transport myself back to a particular time, I'd love to go back and be able to just watch the Negro Leagues. They were so special. Yeah. There were players that played with great heart, great emotion, and a love for the game. Mm-hmm. You were involved with them. Tell me what was so special about them.
Well, to me, now, I can only speak for myself because I was only there 2 years. They made me say, hey, you're going to go to the majors. That's just what they say every day. You're going to go to the majors. We may not go, because when I was 15, those guys were 25, and they didn't have a lot of chances to go. They was only going to stay there. But they said to me when I first got there, we're going to make sure you go to the majors. That means you're not going to do anything wrong. You're going to do everything right. All you do is go out and play. I remember a couple of guys on the ball club didn't have suits. We all chipped in, got them a suit because we want to look good on the road. I remember a lot of families that couldn't eat that the guys was involved in. We chipped in. We got them food and everything. Nobody knew about all these things we did, but we did it with a very, very little amount of money.
Also, your love for the game, did it help you overcome or at least maybe look the other way about the injustices of society at that time in this country?
Well, that was prejudice during the time that I came up. We all knew that because there was two teams in Birmingham. They had the White Barons and the Black Barons there, but we all knew that. But you had to look the other way a little bit because if you didn't, you wouldn't progress along. And I think Jackie proved that the first 2 years that he came in the league. He couldn't say nothing, Holly. And I think he was a very, very smart guy, Jackie was, and to do that because it takes a lot of courage to say no. It takes a lot of courage to back up a little bit. It takes a lot of courage. I mean, when a man slap you, you're going to back up and you're not going to hit him? Oh, that's strong.
Also, do you believe that with Jackie and all the other early players that were African-Americans and black players that came into baseball, that their passion for the game and their desire to show that they could play this game was the thing that really fueled their intensity for playing the game, Willie?
I think when we came in the league, we changed the game. We changed the game from running to throwing. At least I thought I did. I didn't think anybody could beat me doing anything when I came in the league. I was just a little cocky kid, came along, 20-year-old kid. I didn't know that I wasn't supposed to catch these kind of balls. They're talking about people couldn't catch. I didn't know I wasn't supposed to throw runners out like I did, hit home runs. I just didn't feel nobody could beat me doing anything. And that's the way I played when I came into high school, when I came with the Barons. I was just one of those kids that, hey, when the ball went up, catch it and throw it and hit it. So I did all those things before I even came to the Giants. It's just the Giants was organized a little more, and everybody started reading the paper about what's going on. So I really didn't have a downside on me at any time.
Was it hard for you to leave the game ultimately, or did you realize it was the right time?
No, it was very difficult because I never did anything but play baseball from the age of 10. People said when I quit, I was 41 then. oh, let it, why don't you just quit and let somebody else play? It's very difficult to get off the field, you know, especially when you're playing. And, you know, I was hitting 260, 270, but that wasn't my game. But I said to New York the time that I finished, okay, I'm very proud of you because you gave me my last 2 years. They didn't argue with me. They didn't boo me. For 20 years, I played for them. They gave me my last 2 years without, you know, having a hardship.
How do you want fans to ultimately remember Willie Mays when the name comes up in 20, 30, or 40 years down the road?
Well, I like the fans to remember that there's a guy, when he went on the field, he was ready to play. If you look at me play day in and day out, I never played to dog the game. I never played to misuse the game. I never played to misuse the fans. I was always there for kids, and I'm still there for kids. But I feel that they should remember me as a guy that want to, you know, play baseball, want to love baseball. And when people talk about baseball in the wrong way, I would fight about it.
Willie, I want to thank you. You gave a lot on the field, but you also gave something to me as well as you helped launch Sports Byline USA, and I will be indebted to you forever. Thank you, my friend. Continued good health, and come back and visit with us again here on Sports Byline.
Okay, Ryan.
Willie Mays, the Hall of Famer, and as we get ready to go to the break, let's share with you. He hit 660 home runs. Here was Nick's number 600.
Mays, the batter, with Hunt at first. Here's the pitch to Willie. Swung on, hit deep to left. That one is way back, way back, way back. Tell it goodbye, number 600 for Willie Mays, and the bye-bye Baby Bonanza. And the Giants come to home plate to greet him. Number 600 for Mays. He hit it over the 370-foot mark. A standing ovation here in San Diego for Willie.
Only a handful of people have been special to this game. Willie Mays is one of those handful of people. We're back on the other side as we continue across the country and around the world on the Armed Forces Radio Network and the Internet. We've got you on Sports Byline. I hope you enjoyed this special Sports Byline interview. For more interviews, visit sportsbyline.com. I'm Ron Barr.